Mary, did you know your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, then you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Good morning. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Galatians 4:4-7. In your relationships with each other, have the same mindset that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God highly exalted him to a place, the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:5-11. Merry Christmas, family. What an incredible and awesome gift our God gave us. And I don't know why, but I'm all of a sudden finding myself getting choked up. Just thinking of the awesomeness of God's gift to us. You see, looking back on the incarnation of Christ, that point when God became flesh and dwelt among us, looking back, we can see how it all fits together, how it fits with the Old Testament prophets and what they prophesied, how it fits with what God said to Adam and Eve in the garden when he said, "Your seed," he said to Eve, "your seed shall crush the serpent's head." But what if we were there? What if we were the shepherds in the fields? What if we were looking at the stars to figure out what was to come? Would we see him? Boy, I sure hope so. The Hebrew writings were filled with the prophecies of the coming King, the Messiah, the Holy One of God. And all creation testifies. And the heaven sings the wonders of our God. Psalms 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of his hands." You know, there were those in that day that were waiting for the Messiah. They had lived under the oppression of many nations over the years, from Assyria to Babylon to Rome, even Greece before Rome. They were waiting and longing for a Redeemer. And Scripture says that after Jesus was born in Judea, during the time of Herod the king, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who is born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we came to worship him." These were men who were not Jews by birth. These were men that were not looking for the Messiah. But they were men that studied the stars to see how things were to come about, to understand what the future might be by looking at the stars. What they didn't understand that was that the heavens declared the glory of God. And in it declaring the glory of God, they were able to see the coming Messiah. They were able to see that God had sent his Son, and they came to worship him. For those who were watching, they saw that the Messiah was coming. They saw the signs. It was the fullness of time. In other words, it was the long-awaited time when everything was set and ready for the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would crush the serpent's head. Mary, did you know? Yeah. This week we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. You know, Scripture is rather silent on when that happened. It doesn't give us the time of year or the day of the year. And I think God did that for a reason. I think that God did that because he doesn't necessarily want us to celebrate a specific day that would be just when Christ came to be born because... Okay, now I said that it's kind of a general statement. I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to celebrate Christmas. So I just want to make sure, before I make enemies here, that I'm not saying that we shouldn't celebrate Christmas, but I don't think that God wants us only to remember Jesus in the manger. I think that if we remember Christmas, and that is the only time we remember God as Jesus in the manger, then we do a great disservice to who Christ was, who Christ is, who Christ will be. But the birth of Jesus was important because it spoke of his divinity. It spoke of who he was. The likelihood of any man being able to step into life and fulfill all the things that were written about the Messiah in the Old Testament is astronomical. No one outside of who Christ is, outside of who God is, could ever in any way fulfill all of the prophecies that were given about who the Messiah would be. Only Christ, only the Holy One of God could do that. Mary, did you know? Yes, she knew. Because she had faith in who God was. She had faith in the coming Messiah. Even before that, she knew that she would be the one that would be honored to be able to carry him as and before he was an infant. But not only Mary, but the people of Israel knew who he should be. They knew that the Messiah was going to come. It was prophesied in the very beginning when God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. In Genesis 3:15. It was prophesied by David in Psalm 2 when he talked about the eternal king that would come, whose kingdom would have no end. They knew that he was to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:13 and 14. Okay, now, before I read this, let me give you a little bit of a background of this. The king of Israel at that time was debating back and forth with Isaiah, and he wasn't living a righteous life. And Isaiah knew that Assyria was going to come in and take the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. And so he was before the king pleading with him, and he said, ask God for a sign. And the king said, well, I won't tempt God. I won't try this. And then Isaiah goes on to say, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you also try the patience of God also? So Isaiah was saying to him, okay, God wants to give you a sign of his coming Messiah and of his kingdom. He wants you to have faith in him, but you're refusing to do it. So here now, I'm going to give you that sign. So he said, as I just read, hear now, O house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you also try the patience of God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. Now, the word virgin in Hebrew can also be used and also translated as a young child. And those who would like to deny who Christ was will say, or a young girl, not a young child, a young girl would like to say that, well, she wasn't really a virgin, she was just a young girl. Professor in college, when I was in Bible college, said to us, because at that time that argument was really big, and well, she wasn't a virgin, she was just a young girl. And he said, you could call her a banana. And the text says she was a virgin, because it is not a sign that a young girl should have a child. But it is a sign that a virgin shall have a child. That a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which is God with us. They knew who he was to be. For it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They knew that he was to be born in Bethlehem, because Micah 5:2 says, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you be little you shall be a great ruler, for out of you shall come the Messiah. And I just paraphrased that because in my notes I forgot to write down the actual words. They knew that he would be born in Bethlehem. They knew many things. Mary, did you know? In the 6 months of Elizabeth, this is from Luke chapter 2. In the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth is the cousin of Mary. Her husband is Zechariah, the priest. And an angel of the Lord came to Zechariah when he was serving in the temple, and he said, Zechariah, even though you're old, and even though your wife is old, you will have a son. And Zechariah didn't believe him. And so the angel made him lose his ability to speak. But the angel told him that his child would be like Elijah, and he would be the forerunner, the testimony of the one to come after him, who was Christ. And so his wife, he went from the temple and went home to his wife, and his wife became pregnant at an old age, and it was a marvel. But then when she was in her sixth month, when the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive and is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary, did you know? After Gabriel appeared to Mary, she hurried off to her cousin. And when she came to her cousin Elizabeth, she spoke to her. And the baby John leapt within Elizabeth's womb. The very presence of God was living within Mary. So much so that John, who was sent to be a testimony of who Christ was, when he was still in the womb, recognized Christ. Not only did Mary know, not only did the children of Israel, the unborn John knew who God was, knew who Jesus was in the womb. His presence was that well known. Then when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy, and they shared in her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to call him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made a sign to his father to find out what he would like the child's name to be. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was set free. And he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And this is the point I want to make, because this is the point where we see that not only did Mary know, but the children of Israel knew who Christ was. Because Zechariah says, "Praise be to God, the Lord of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up the horn of salvation for us, the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophet long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy on our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hands of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him through the forgiveness. Prepare a way for him to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet onto the path of peace." God showed Zechariah who Christ was. Christ was not to be just a baby in a manger, but Christ was to be the one who would come to save us from our sins. Christ would be the one to redeem Israel and all nations because of it. On the day that Jesus was born, the angels spoke to the shepherds in the field, and they came to worship him. They knew, as Mary knew, as the children of Israel knew, as Zechariah knew, because the angel of the Lord told them and they believed. 8 days later, they took Jesus to be circumcised. And then they went to the temple for the ritual cleansing. And a servant of the Lord, Simeon, was there as a priest. He had waited long to see the coming Messiah, and he believed that the Messiah would come in his lifetime. And they placed Jesus in his arms, and he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory for your people Israel." He knew that Jesus Christ would not be only the salvation of Israel. It was not a coming king to reign in power and to drive out the Romans from the nation of Israel, but it would be the Messiah who would come to free all people and to free all nations. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She knew Jesus was the Messiah because God had made it known. And God had made it known through their miraculous birth. This will be your sign that a virgin shall conceive, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. I said earlier on that I don't think that God necessarily wanted us to have a time where we celebrated just the birth of Christ. Because if we celebrate just the birth of Christ, we only know him as a baby in a manger. But he didn't remain a baby in a manger. He lived to testify of God's goodness. He lived to testify of who he was, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. And he lived to the point where he was brought into trial and then crucified for our sins and died for us, that we might know peace with God in the salvation that he brings, that we through faith might be redeemed. This is the celebration of Christmas, not just the baby in the manger, but the Christ, the risen Christ, who died for our sins and who gives us the opportunity to know him and to be the adopted children of God because of his redemption. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the wonder of who you are, that you would love us, sinners who rebelled against you, that you would love us enough to send your son to die on the cross for us, that relationship might be restored, and that we might live with you in peace forever. Thank you for your son in this time where we remember him, his birth, but not only his birth, his life, in his death and resurrection, and that we remember that he is living with us because we believe, because of faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.